Okay, we're up to page 206. Page 206, Pasuk Ches. Perek Yudal, Pasuk Ches. Yeshuvu Yeshve Vitzilo Yichayu Dogon V'yifrin. It is my mother's yahrzeit. Thank you very much. My mother's yahrzeit is today Leah Sarabas Rav Shmuel David. Leah Sarabas Shmuel David. Shem Havan Aliyah. Okay, we're up to page 206, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Ches, Yoshuvu Yoshve Vitziloi. Those that dwell in the shade of Hashem, may they be in a state of Yoshuvu. What does that word mean? We'll see in a moment. There are two possible translations. Either it means they should be in the state of tranquility. Yoshuvu here means Shavu. Shavu means peace. Peace, tranquility, serenity, happiness, nachas, nothing to worry about. That's not the common translation. The common translation, the more popular translation would be, Yeshuva means they should do teshuva. And that, gesundheit. And that would mean that when it says Yoshve Vitziloi, it refers to the past. The people who in the past used to dwell in the shade of Hashem, halavai, they should do teshuva and once again in return and dwell in Hashem's shade. I will talk about that in a few moments. Yichayu dogon v'yifrichu kagefen. May they, yichayu, be given life. They should come to life. Yichayu is b'loshon osit. May they come to life, dogon. Now what does that mean? Does that mean the people should come to life through grain? Or does it mean that the Dagon itself shall come to life? Dagon will take on a human form. Is that what it means? There'll be a Techiyas HaMeisim for the Dagon. Or it means the people will come to life through the benefit of having in their possession Dagon. Okay, that's two possible translations. The Yifrichu Chagofen, they will blossom like a vine. Does that mean that the gefen, that the dog on the grain will blossom like a vine? What could that possibly mean? Well, maybe it means that the people will blossom like a vine. Zichroi and his remembrance. Who is the subject? Who's his? Is that referring to a person? Maybe it's referring to Hashem or referring to the Yerushalayim. Who is referring to? We'll have to see in a moment. Kiyain livonon, like wine of the livonon. So there are many, many, it's a very, very difficult pasuk to translate in any way, shape, or form. And we have no choice but to look at the mafarshim and see how they make their best attempt to translate these words. So first the Mitzudos David says, pasuk chastim says, David, so even before the Mitzudos David, look at the Mitzudos Tzion, pasuk chas, where it says the word yoshuvu. He learns inyan hashket umargoya. The word yeshuva means tranquility. Tranquility kemo b'shuva v'nachas. Shuva v'nachas means tranquility. Mr. Klein, the symbol chasna was?
Yes.
Mazel tov. Mazel tov. Mazel tov. Mazel tov. It was your grandson or your granddaughter?
Granddaughter.
Your granddaughter. Mr. Klein's granddaughter got married this past Sunday. We all wish you a mazel tov. Mazel tov. So yeshuva. Yeshuvu here, according to the Mitzudos, here means tranquility. May the people who are Yoshu, let's go back to the Mitzudos David, Yoshuvu v'shyoshu v'tziloi, elu sheyoshu v'yechesu v'tzili. You have to translate the pasuk out of order. Translate the words out of order. The first word to translate would be Yoshuve v'tziloi, those people who dwell in the shadow of Hashem, the shade. That could also mean two different things. The shade of Hashem, they're under his protection. Now we go back and we translate the first word of this expression. May they merit the blessing of being in a state of shuva v'nachas. Elu sheyeshu v'yechesu, these individuals who dwell and seek refuge, v'tziloi shel mokem, in the shadow of Hashem, yiyeh b'shuva v'nachas. May they merit to be in a state of tranquility. The next word is the Mitzudah Yichayu Dagon, Yichayu es Atzmam. The Mitzudah learns that the word Dagon, the Yichayu, is going on people. May these individuals, may they come to life, binachas ve'eden, with peace and happiness, delight. Eden is delight. Kadagon hanchaye es habrios, just like grain, which gives life to a person. Dagon, a person has what to eat, then he is alive. If he does not have what to eat, he's going to die. So just like grain is the basic staple of life, so too these people, they should come to life like what Dagon does for a human being. the Yifrichu, page 206. 206. Pasachas in the Mesudas Tavit. 206 in the bottom. And the Yifrichu Yarbu Pirachim. May they increase. May their flowers increase. May they blossom. Zichron Shmo Yeh. A person. Each individual should merit a blessing where he will have a very good reputation. V'zichron shemo yeh k'yayin ha'godel b'levonon ha'muskar l'shevach. Okay, to have a good reputation. It's a very good thing. It's a very, very hard thing for a person to have a good reputation. No one should have any complaints against them. People pay an enormous amount of money today to services to clean up what appears when you type in their name in Google. Okay, you type in your name in Google. Type in your name. What appears? What does it say? This guy's a Ganef. This guy's a Rasha. Child molester. Abuse his wife. Who knows what he did, right? Unfortunately, a lot of people, you type in their name in the computer, it's horrifying. What comes up? What comes up? When I type in my name, it says I'm deceased. You did it to me. It's good. I'm very happy. Adarabba. I think that's why when I went to Eretz Yisrael, they gave me a very, very hard time. We're trying to figure out, when I went to Eretz Yisrael last time, I was singled out more than anyone else.
You look like a terrorist.
More than anyone else. They took me at every single checkpoint. I was taken aside and interrogated. All my luggage was checked multiple times, and I was interrogated multiple times. And my sister, I went with my sister, she's like, what's going on here? What's with you? You're the only guy. What did you do? What crime did you commit that they're interrogated? I have no idea. I have no idea why.
Computer
why?
Never forgets. You know, the computer has it wrong in a certain way, and you can't change it.
You can't change it. So the only thing I can think is because since if you type in, I assume that Elal, they're very sophisticated. They do. It's known. I don't know really what goes on. They do background checks. Everyone who gets on the plane, they do a background check. And the easiest way to do a background check.
America, like Israel?
Both. Go both. On the list, for sure.
When they ask you questions, they already know the answer. They just want to see.
Yeah, they just play me. I have no doubt. For sure, I'm on the list. So why am I on the list? So I'm trying to figure out. So I type my name in Google. I don't see anything really bad. But one thing I do see is that it comes up is that I'm deceased. That has my mother's name, my father's name, the whole yichus, and it says I'm deceased. If I'm deceased. So someone
using
presented. It's like I'm taking. That's the classic. You take a person who's dead. There's all a lot of stories like this. You go to cemetery records and you find dead people. And you use their name, and you have a new identity. So maybe that's the only thing I can think of why they have me as suspect for.
Did they ask you if you know Mayor Rapido? Maybe.
Maybe so it was good. I have no tinnitus. Let me prove myself. I don't think I have any skill. I don't know. Who knows? But you want to go? All right. I don't have any. They let me go. Okay. When the day was over, they let me on the plane. Okay. They didn't give me a hard time. Chas v'shalom. They
you
let
have
me go.
Global entry.
Yeah. Sure. I don't travel. I don't travel often enough that it's kedai for me. The amount of time I will spend doing a global entry is more than the amount of time I will spend online for the once in 5 years that I go to Eretz Yisrael, right? So it's not really
my
worth.
My wife and I did PTSA, and it's very efficient most times. Well, my son has the global entry.
Yeah, it's a piece of cake.
That means they cleared you once, and once they
So they let you go 1, 2, 3, right? I know, it's a very good idea, sir. It's a very good idea. People who've done this are very pleased with it. They say it's very, it's good. It's a good thing to do. Okay, but you have to go through it. It's a process. It's not easy yet. All right, in any event, over here, it says over here that Yeshua, Yosha, Vitzila, those people, Yichayu, so it's a very good thing to have a good reputation, especially in today's day and age. A person types the name of Google, their services, people make a lot of money from this, is to clean up that they should not appear on Google. Now, there's really no way to get your name off all garbage. But what they do, the techniques they do, it's very interesting, is they basically flood the internet with new good stuff. So most people, when you go for a job interview, you go for some type of thing, they check you, they don't go more than 3 pages. They're not going to check more than 30 results. So if you can push all the garbage past 30 results, it's pretty good. They're not going to bother. Once you get to 30, go to the first 3 pages, most people, the guy's okay, he's good enough. So it goes to show, you know, a good reputation can get you a long way. So here it says, like we said, actually, Zichroi, the person's reputation will be Kiyain Levanon. It's not something that you take for granted. To have a good reputation, a small, little bad detail can really do enormous damage. Look what goes on Amazon. It's amazing. Amazon is so amazing because of the reviews. You can spend a whole day, you want to buy something for 99 cents. You can lose your mind going through a review of all the different miles, and you know, it's a crazy thing. But if someone writes a little teeny negative thing about a product, a teeny little negative thing, you know how much influence to how harmful that is for the product? It's just any little, you can never get rid of it. And the companies, some better companies, they go and they immediately contact the person who wrote the review, immediately. And then they try to be mafiasim, they tell them, we'll give you a free product, just revise what you wrote, revise and give us 5 stars. Because they invest in a product, an enormous amount of money, and a little negative thing can ruin the product. Yeah.
I know, I was on a trip with someone, and she mentioned a doctor that I know very well, he's a very good doctor. And she says she hated him. He did surgery on her hand or something. It got all screwed up. It happens, you know. Life is like that. But it doesn't mean he's a bad doctor.
Right. So, but unfortunately, the world doesn't see it like that. If you have another 20 doctors, and even though this one doctor is by far superior, than one incident where he messed someone up, and everyone else doesn't know what they're doing, but no one said anything bad about them. So to the ignorant, who needs a doctor, and they look at the doctor and there are reviews, who are they going to do? They're not going to go to him. So his whole Parnas is down the drain. After all the years of hard work, they'll go to some rookie who doesn't even know what he's doing because of some little negative thing. It, especially in the 21st century, years ago, the information was not available. It was not available, so then it's very, your reputation is not, you know, your credentials speak for themselves.
There's a local credential, you know, word of mouth is the way you put it.
Okay, fine. Now everything you go online, you know the whole history of everyone. So in our generation, more than ever in world history, is a reputation more for anything, reputation for anything more significant, more important, because we live in the age of technology, the age of information. And that changes the whole world. And this bracha leaps off the page. Something years ago, okay, a bad reputation, what do you care? And people forget very quickly. Give it a year. Give it a year, no one will remember. You'll start all over again. No one will ever remember what you did 5 years ago, because there was no way of knowing. There was no, who are you going to dig up? You go to a new community, no one knows the past. You're fine. Today, there's no such thing. You can't hide anymore. So this expression here is so powerful in our generation. Zichroi kiyein levanon, a person's, in this individual, we're discussing each individual, his reputation will be like the best wine. It's a powerful idea. Back to the Mitzvah David. Which means the best of the best. Let's see Rashi. Rashi disagrees with the Mitzvot. He learns that when it says Yeshuva does not mean tranquility. Yeshuva means to return. They should do teshuva. Yeshuva, may they do teshuva. Yoshvei vitziloi, those who dwell, who in the past. According to Rashi, right, there are two major changes in the difference between Rashi and the Mitzvot. Is Yoshvei Vitzilo a reference to the past, or is it a reference for the present? According to the Mitzvot, it's a reference to the present. Those who now currently are Yoshvei Vitzilo, those who are in Koilel, those people who are in Koilel, they're sitting in the shade of Hashem. Yashuvu, the Mitzvot David says, they should have a bracha of tranquility. No daigus. Everything should go their way. Hashem should give them bracha of peace, serenity, tranquility. Everything should be good. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says we're referring over here to people who are not observant, people who are not religious, people who have no connection to Yiddishkeit. But they come from stock that was the best of the best. People who in the past were Yoshvei Vitziloi. Back either means they themselves, or maybe it means their families. It means that their ancestors, who were people who were Yoshei Vitzilo, Yoshuvu, do teshuva. May you return and come under Hashem's wings. Do teshuva. Next words of Rashi. Shuvu, Oysan, those people who in the past were Shahayu kvar yoshim b'tzel halavana. Shadima by Yisrael ubeis hamigdash, which the word levanan we compare to klal Yisrael and the beis hamigdash. The achshav now golu me'imoy. Now they have been exiled from Hashem. Yoshuvu elof. Hayashay is giving instructions due to shuva. Zichroi kiyein levanon. Now he only quotes here the translation of the Targum. Kiduchran, they should be remembered. Yabovus chatzoitzrasa, the sound of the trumpets. The al chamar atik, the trumpets were blown when wine was poured on the mizbeach. The al chamar atik, old wine. The misnesech that was poured the base mak the shah in the base hamidosh, and he translates it for us. Rashi shall you take in the chatzitzrois al hanesachim kisha halavim oimrim b'shir. They would blow the trumpets when the levim would sing the shira as the yayin was poured on the top of the mizbeach. Okay, that's the uviyom simchaschem uverashi chotshechem tiskohu b'chatzitzrois. You shall blow the trumpets. Al elosechem, v'al zivchechem, v'al shalmei nidrechem, v'hoyu lechem l'zikoro l'fnei Hashem. I've got the whole pasuk. We say this in Rosh Hashanah. This pasuk, we read not that long ago in Kriyas HaTorah. What was the parsha? Where's the parsha? The chatzoitzrois, the parsha saw
Baal Oischa,
the parsha of the trumpets. There's a mitzvah on the days of Simcha, on Rosh Chodesh, and the Sholosh Golim, Uviyom Simchaschem, the Beis Hamikdash, they would blow trumpets. And the trumpets would blow, they would blow a tekiah. They would blow a tekiah with the trumpets when they would pour the wine on the Mizbeach. When it's interesting to know, we mentioned trumpets, this is a very interesting idea. I actually wanted to tell this to you on Friday, when we were in Parashat Baleisra, I never got a chance to say this, is in the parish of the trumpets, you blow trumpets twice. You blow trumpets at an Eis Tzara. When there's a war, v'chisavo atzar alatzar ha'atzreshem v'harayosim b'chatzotzres. You blow the trumpets when you're under attack. If there is a war and the enemy is and you're under attack, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to blow trumpets. What sound do you make from the trumpets? A teruah.
Right, because there's 9 times in that pasuk the word tekiah.
Oh, yeah, tekiah. You blow a trua, a trump, not a shofar. A shofar is the horn of an animal. A trumpet is made from metal. It's a man-made instrument made from metal. Copper, gold, silver, I'm not even exactly sure. I think it's silver, And you blow the trumpet when there's war, an enemy is coming into your Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah, the oraisa, to blow a trua with the trumpets. The other time you blow a trumpet is on Rosh Chodesh and the Shalosh Ugalim Uvyom Simchaschem, whatever that refers to, on days of Simcha, you blow a tekiah. Not a trua, but you blow a tekiah. Usikatem b'chatzotres. The word sikatem means blow a tekiah with the trumpets. So the question is now that, first of all, by the way, Derech Agav, there's a very, very big debate, and there's a lot of chidush Torah on this topic. Bizman hazeh, 2018, if Rachmana Litzlan is an Eitz Tzara, if they're throwing missiles from Gaza into Eretz Yisrael, is there a mitzvah d'oraisa today to blow trumpets? It's a terrible tzara. How would you feel?
How would you like it
if they were throwing missiles into Flatbush? We go out of our minds. You sit in the basement the whole day. Go sit in the bunker and go meshuga. So it's exactly what's happening in Sedrot and all these places in the south. They're launching missiles, balloons, kites, all these crazy things are going on there. The people in Gaza, they're sending in things into, and of course, Rahman al-Sun, go talk about the wars, okay, the Lebanon war, go talk about all the terrible things that happened in the past, go talk about the War of Independence, the war, the Six-Day War, you know, v'chulu. Was there a mitzvah d'oraisa to blow trumpets? It says in the Torah, atzar hatzorer eschem. So this indeed is a very, very big debate. Okay, there's a lot of Torah, there are opinions, Taka hold, there is a mitzvah d'oraisa, bizman hazeh. Do they do it? I don't know, I've never heard them
What's
being done.
What's wrong with doing it?
Nothing is wrong doing it. Maybe, nothing, I don't know.
I would think that you just do it and it's not.
Right. So I don't know the answer. I never got a chance to really look into it. I just saw, but there is someone, I was speaking to someone about this, and And so it's linked actually to a rab. I go to a shir, I go to different shirim, so I asked this very big Talmud Chacham, and he said, no, there is no mitzvah d'araisa. There's nothing to talk about. He gave me examples. He started to give me these examples. And then the fellow sitting there, he said to the rab, b'mechilas kavoida, you know, it's a very big sugya. And I know for a fact that there are opinions that there is a mitzvah. And the next day he brought me a kuntras. He wrote a kuntras, which presented the whole sugya back and forth, all the various opinions. I didn't read it. I never read it. But it was an interesting topic of conversation. Is there a mitzvah d'oraisa? Now, the point I want to make is as follows. Let's say lo yitzu, there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to blow. What do you blow when the enemy is attacking? You blow a teruah. When it's a yom of simcha, what do you blow? You blow a tekiah. Why? Now, the trumpet is an instrument of simcha. It's not a shofar. A shofar is not an instrument of simcha. A shofar we blow on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, it's a yom hadin. So let's put aside the shofar. Let's focus on the trumpet. We know as a fact that a trumpet is an instrument of simcha, uvi yom simchaschem, uvi moyadechem, uvi roshi chodsheichem, usekaten bachatzoitzrois, you shall blow the trumpet, al eloisechem, v'al zivchechem, v'al, I forget the end of the pasuk, v'al zivche shalmechem, v'hoyu lochem lezikoroin, ani Hashem eloikechem. We say that in Rosh Hashanah. We say Rosh Hashanah, that's one of the power of the psukim of zichroinus. So it's an instrument of simcha. How is the simcha expressed? With a tekiah. A tekiah is a continuous sound. There is no break. When there is a war, we take that same instrument with that same sound, and instead of having it be a continuous sound, we break it. We sever it. We sever the sound into little parts. In essence, what are we saying when there's a war? Now let me take a step back. Whenever Rachman al Hassan is a tzara, there are two different elements to a tzara. There's pain. There is actual pain. There is suffering. People die. People get hurt. People, their lives are disrupted. There is no parnasa. There's starvation. There is pain. Number two, there is the absence of simcha. In life, more often than not, we hope there's no pain. Now, just because there's no pain, Baruch Hashem, you have a parnasa, everything is good. Do you have simcha? They always ask today in Shaduchim, does he have simcha sachayim? What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Does he have simcha sachayim? Just because everything can be good and well, a person can be healthy, and a person can have parnasa, and everything can be fine and well, there's another element in life of having simcha. When there's war, there's no simcha, that's for sure. And worse, there is tsar, there is pain, there is suffering. Question, when there is war, what should you focus on? I would think, the average person would think, you should focus on the fact that you're undergoing pain. You're living in a situation of suffering. The Torah says, no, you're making a big mistake. V'chisavohu tsar bi'artzechem, when an enemy comes into your land and makes problems for you and causes you pain. It says the word tsar. We call the enemy here tsar, which means pain. Don't complain about the fact that you're suffering. Suffering is not something you can do anything about. That's what the Pasuk seems to be saying. Because suffering, you know, people suffer. Hashem decides when you suffer. The tsara, the problem of war is you no longer have simcha. There's an absence of simcha. Because you're taking the trumpet, which is an instrument of simcha, uviyom simchaschem uvimoyadechem, and instead of blowing the continuous sound, a tekiah, which is a sound of simcha, continuous, chop it up. Destroy, show that the simcha has been broken up, has been taken away, has been destroyed, has been ruined. What does it say in the Teichacha? Why do we suffer from the Teichacha? Tachas Asher lo yavardas Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvituv leivav meirovka. This pasuk is one of the most shocking psukim in the whole Torah. you would think the teichachas, mamish, the curses are just mind-boggling, what it says in the teichacha. And the why do we deserve this? So you would think, you know, why do you deserve this? What do you expect? If you're a murderer, you're a serial rapist, and you're a pagan, that's why you deserve this, right? You've done the worst averis possible, and everything in between. That's why you're suffering. No, Hashem, that's not why you're suffering. You're not going to suffer because of the Zergi Rashi Chassam. You know why? Teichacha, tachas, asher, lo yavadata, es Hashem elokecha, besimcha. Uvituv levav, with a good heart, meroiv kol, in a time when Hashem gave you everything that you need, you have available to utilize, to bring yourself to a state of simcha, and channel that simcha to Hashem. You did not take advantage of that opportunity, the blessing of Hashem, and to use it to serve Hashem with simcha. That's why there is teichacha. A war is exactly parallels this thing. Because in a war, you would expect, why are we suffering? Why is the enemy coming upon us and making us tzaris? Because we're bad people. We're bad people. We do averos. We go on the internet, we waste our time on the internet, we're addicted to alcohol, we're addicted to this, we're addicted to that, and we do all these crazy things that we're not supposed to do. No. There's a war. Take the instrument of simcha, the trumpet, and instead of blowing the tekiah, which you're accustomed to, which represents that state of simcha, break up that tekiah. Shatter it. Shatter it into little pieces to indicate that there's no more simcha. That's why the Tsar Hatzoreschem has come upon the land. Okay, so this over here, when he writes over here at the end, this we're winding down the very, very end of Hosea. He's winding down over here, and he's telling us over here, this is the Targum over here, is Rashi over here is saying something which it's Ikar Chosar Min HaSefer. Zichroi. So we learned the Mitzudais, which means Zichroi, means you have a very fine reputation. When someone will type in your name in Google, only positive results. Okay, everything is going to be fine and good. That was the Mitzudos. Rashi quotes the Targum. And you know what it means? It means Zichroi means the remembrance, Kiduchran, the remembrance of Yabovus, Yababa. Yababa means the sound of a trumpet or a shofar, the sound of a horn of a trumpet. Yababus chatzoitz rasa, the sound of the trumpet, which is the instrument of simcha, the al-chamar, which was blown at a time in the Beis HaMikdash of a day of simcha, and to emphasize that it was a day of simcha, when did they blow the trumpets? They blew the trumpets when they would pour wine, because yayin yisamach, Levav Enosh, Uvyom Simchaschem, Usakatem Bachatzaitras. What is Yayin? Yayin is often used as a symbol of Simcha. Yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh, Chamaratik, old wine, Demis Nesech, that's poured, Beves Makdishah, and Rashi explains that not only do they pour it, not only do they blow the trumpets when the Levim were singing a Shira. So it's the ultimate expression of Simcha.
When did Moshe use the trumpets?
So there's another halacha, there's another time you use the trumpets, and that is to gather the people.
Right.
When you gather, that's also a very big simcha.
A signal.
It was a signal that everyone should come together. Lech kinois es kol ha-yehudim. When Jews get together, there's no greater simcha than that. Okay, that's for sure. Jews come together, two Jews come together, two brothers come together. How often do you see that? That's tremendous simcha. And when they would travel, you know what traveling means? Travel means to go forward in life, to accomplish, not just walking in the desert. Each of the masois was a spiritual accomplishment. So in Achanami, when Moshe Rabbeinu blew the trumpets, it represented a very, very high dosage, a very high level of simcha. When the Levim would sing Shira, it's a moment of very great simcha. And that's how he's winding down. Zichroi means it's a remembrance. It's something that you remember. When you blow the trumpet, you remember. It causes you to remember. When we blow the shofar, the horn, It's not for us to remember. There are different opinions. It's more for Hashem. For Hashem, we connect ourselves to Hashem as if we think that Hashem hears the sound of the shofar. Shomea kol teruah. Hashem hears the sound. A shofar is an entirely different instrument, and what it represents is something entirely different. But here it says that there's a remembrance. The remembrance is when you hear the sound of that trumpet. That's going to be the matzav of Klal Yisrael Yimos HaMashiach. We will be in a state of simcha, just like in the past. We were in a state of simcha when they blew the trumpet on Yom Tov. That's how it was in the past, and those days will come upon us once again in the future. And this pasuk here, the difference in Rashi and the Metudah struck me only because I had a conversation with someone very recently, who I was talking to him about Achenu Bnei Yisrael, the Indian of being Makarev secular Jews. And especially the Kabbalah conversation was being Makarev secular Jews in Eretz Yisrael. How far is one Mechuyev, or in Hashkafa, is it an ideal thing to invest time and resources to be Makarev Jews who have completely distanced themselves from Hashem? So I said, of course, what's the Shaila? This is priority number one. I said, these people, you know, I gave all these arguments. I said, these people, you know, they are B'nai, they're Jews. They're Jews, and some of them come from the best Yichus. They have better Yichus than me and you. And unfortunately, these people, they're totally lost. You have a duty to be Makarev them. And this fellow, who's a very big Talmud Chacham, he said it's a very nice thing to do, but it's not necessarily priority number one. He says the fact is, at this moment in time, these people are completely alienated from Yadis. Completely. They're. I was very surprised, but what he's saying is not necessarily his own. This is a Shita. Lubavitch obviously hold its priority one. You have to go out. You got to go out there.
All these people came from the...
They came, but they came on their own. Many of them were not. No one went. No one went out on a mission. Rabbi Akiva didn't go. A Chabad guy didn't go to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva put on tefillin and led one thing led to another. It was a Chabad rach, okay, but it wasn't a shliach from the Rebbe that convinced Rabbi Akiva to become. And all the stories you have with people, it was just an accident. They happened to be in the right place at the right time, and someone says something to them, and so on and so on. You don't see in Chazal Kiruv like we see today. You don't see that. Go study Shas. I don't believe you're going to find people who were Chozer B'Shuva. It happened because there were people who went out to find, to seek them out and bring them back. Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. Avraham Avinu.
What about with man and his wife?
What?
Remember the story that Marvin's on the story of man and his wife. They had neighbors who were not, it was like that he wanted to pray that she died, and his wife convinced him to do otherwise.
So he, but Rav Meir didn't go in the car of them. That's exactly the point. Rav Meir said, don't be mispalot, they should die, but I'm not telling you to be makar of them. His wife didn't tell him to be makar of them. No, she didn't. She just said, yitamu chatoim, or yitamu chatoim in Eretz v'loi chaitim. That the chatoim should cease, but not, don't be mispalot at the chaitim. It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that she told her husband, you should go and be makar of them. Don't be mispalot, they should die. Eventually, on their own, they'll come to their senses. The Nevi'im, they'll hear the words of the Nevi'im. Now, you'll tell me, maybe, no, Pumfakeh, you'll tell me every Navi was really a Chabad rabbi, right? Maybe you'll tell me that's what the Nevi'im were. They were outreach. I don't know, not necessarily, because the Nevi'im, I don't know. It's something you can debate. Avraham Avinu, he did outreach. Avraham Megayer, but then what did Hashem say to Avraham? Hashem said, Adkan. Hashem told Avraham, no more. Until now, you are Av. I want you to stop this process. And no more do I want you to be Makar of Avraham. Instead of going out to the world, it's going to be built from within you. Ki be Yitzchok Yikor L'cha Zara. And Chazal, in fact, they tell us all of the Gerim, all the people that he brought Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, Chazul the Suroi. They went back to their old ways.
Yeah, because otherwise, where what?
Where were they? Yeah. They went back. But other Mepharshim say all of the Gerim, Bizman HaZeh, are all descendants from the people whom Avram Avinu 3,000 years ago was Makariv. Even though at that time they went back to their old ways, after Avram stopped, they went back, but the influence was there. It trickled down to their great-great-great-great-grandchildren, Ad Hayom Hazeh, and anyone that today becomes the Ger Tzedek is an Einikol from the people that Avram Avinu brought Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. So you can debate this back and forth, and there are indeed, look at the groups in Klal Yisrael. You find Lubavitch, this is priority one. But amongst everyone else in Klal Yisrael, it's not priority one. Different Madregas. Every to each his own.
Which doesn't convert.
Kiruv, not convert. Kiruv v'chaykim. How come you don't see everyone else involved in this? All the other groups in Klal Yisrael, they don't have Chabad houses. They're not so interested in this. If someone happens to approach you, of course you do everything you can possibly do. Okay, they have partners in Torah. There are different groups that do the same thing Lubavitch does in different ways, but not to the extreme, not nearly anywhere close to the extreme that Lubavitch engages in this activity. Why? Is it because they're lesser Jews than Lubavitch? Or it's because it's a different hashkafa? It's not your duty. And it's interesting that this really, I think, is really the difference in the parish of the pasuk. If you learn the parish of Rashi, Rashi is learning like Lubavitch. Yoshuvu yoshvei vitziloi. People who once upon a time would sit in the shade of Hashem, they rested tachas kanfei hashchina. The pasuk is saying to them, Yoshuvu. It's the time of Mashiach. This pasuk is referring, these psukim are referring to the time of Mashiach. I'm begging you, come back. The Baal Tshuva movement, Yeshuvu, is a demand, is a tevia. This is a priority in Yibayis HaMashiach. Do tshuva, those who in the past were Yoshvei Vitzilo, Yichayu Dogon V'Yifrichu Chagofen, you people who have no connection to Yadus whatsoever, your day has come, do tshuva, return, and you'll come back to life. Zichro kiyein levanon, and your and Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you'll have a degree of simcha. It'll be for you a time of simcha like it was back in the days of old. People in Eretz Yisrael are all Jews. Everyone is a Jew. Many of them are not observant. Some of them are anti-religious. But you know who they come from? They come from the best ichos. They come from their grandfathers. Some of them never go back so far. Some of their grandfathers were people who knew shas on their fingertips. We're talking about people who are moiser nefesh for Hashem, for Torah, and here they have grandchildren that, yeah, on the internet a few weeks ago, a guy went and he burnt the tefillin. Can you imagine the guy, he took tefillin? But he took tefillin online? Was ever such a thing like this in the whole world? He took the tefillin, he burnt the tefillin in front of your eyes. And it was so he did tshuva. So I read the article, I didn't even read the whole article, but I saw the interview already. He was
so angry.
Okay, people get angry. It's not a kasha. People get angry. People get upset. A lot of things can drive a person mad. So the positive, but notice the Mitzudos doesn't say this. The Mitzudos is referring Yemos HaMashiach, and the focus is on the people who are with the program. The people who are Yoshvei Vitzilai. The people who are in Koilel Chazonish, in the Bnei Barak. The people who are in the morning Koilel. The people who are with the program. I'm giving you a blessing of Yeshuvu. May you dwell in a state of tranquility. May you be blessed. You'll no longer be in a state of poverty and daigus of Parnasa. I'm giving you. What about all of the unaffiliated Jews all over the world? It's not our problem. That's not the focus. It's not the focus of this pasuk of Yemos HaMashiach. It's a very fundamental difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos of what is the thrust. There are only a few psukim in Hosea. These psukim is the wind down of Yemos HaMashiach, and there's a major difference in what is the focus. Is the focus of the Balei Tshuva? Everyone should now come back. Come back now, Mashiach is coming, so all of you have drifted. The time now is time for you to come back. Or no, halavai, they should come back. And you have to do everything you possibly can to a degree. But that's not the focus. That's not priority one. why not? Okay, you have to debate this. You have to delve into it. It's obviously, if the whole world is like this, okay, the whole world is, you know, different groups of what people believe is the priority. Obviously, there's something to it. But you even get a sense, a taste of this disagreement of hashkafa, of how to deal with Acheinu B'nei Yisrael in this difference of perish, major wild difference of perish between Rashi and the Mitzudos of it. People would say, people who have a child who's not religious, the pain they go through is just unimaginable. And if someone out there in the world can go do them a favor and convince their child to be Chayzer B'Shuva, so the parents would give that person everything they have. I know some people like that. People know all of them. I know if my father was a rabbi, and there were people who had children, Rachman Litzlan, who were not from. They went off the derech, and it just drove them mad. And if someone would go and would be able, had an ability to go and convince their child to be Chayzer B'Shuva, it would give them life. So think about Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. All of these people. How many millions of Jews are there in the world that are totally ignorant? 14, 13 million Jews, maybe 10 million, whatever there is, at least 10 million Jews out there in the world that know from zero. So you don't think Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov don't have enormous pain that their descendants here, 3,000 years later, 10 million of them know from zero? And you know what they would give for us sitting here in the Kollel to go out into the world and can wake them up and convince them, b'chayzer b'shuva? They would say, close your Gemara, shut down the Kollel, get on a plane and travel the world, knock on doors, and wake up these people to do tshuva. Do you know how much hakaras hatoiv they would have to us? That's Chabad. They got it right to a degree. So why don't we do it? Obviously, there are reasons. There are reasons. You can think of your own reasons. And obviously, this has been discussed. And been
an interesting story. It was in Salt Lake City, in the Chabad in Salt Lake City. The rabbi got to sleep. And he said, someone called him up and asked him to visit a prison. There was a Jew. His son was in a prison. And he says he has like two and a half states that he covers and he visits. And he went and he says, is there anyone else here that's Jewish? He says, yeah, a lot of people are Jewish. He says, what are people doing Jewish? See, the Mormon church in Utah has control so much, they passed the law. If you're under 21, a parent has a right to lock you up. There's no, you can't go to the court. A parent has a right. If you're a troubled, a parent has a right. So a lot of the people that told their son who was troubled, or the kid who was troubled, let's go to Utah, Salt Lake City. We'll visit Utah. And when they were there, they had a kid locked up because he was on drugs or something like that. And they tried to get him off drugs and get him right in the derrick, but only could do that because it was a Mormon thing.
Okay.
Just interesting when you told that story.
People, someone can help their child, they'll do it. So think about it. The others, how much pain they must have, what's happening today in this world. And, you know, there's a lot of logic behind the idea of making it a priority to be Makarif people. Okay, let's take a look at the Radak. Radak, Pasik, Pasik, Ches. Yashuvu Yoshev Isila Yashuvu La'artzam. He learns pretty much like the Mitzudah. Yashuvu means to do like Rashi. He's the Radak is learning like Rashi. They should return to their land. Yashuvu means to return, does not mean tranquility. Return the Artsam, the Yu Yoshim Bitzel or Kel Tzvach, they should dwell under the shadow of Hashem. Yichayu dogon, yichayu atzma b'chol eis b'mitzvah yisokel yisparach sheyikaimu k'mo yadogon. They should give life to themselves with mitzvahs. Sheyiskaimu k'mo yadogon hamechaye es ha'adam b'roiv. So in this pasuk over here, we're comparing dogon. Dogon is a metaphor for Torah. Just like Torah, dogon grain gives a person life. Ki lo yal alechem levado yichye ha'adam. Man does not live on bread alone. I mean, you need some spirituality. But in the physical world, you do live on bread alone. It gives a person life. So too, a person should take Hashem's mitzvahs. And also, the only way you can survive spiritually is through Hashem's mitzvahs. Dagon chaser chaf adem. It should say ki dagon. The correct way to read the pasuk, yichayu ki dagon v'yifrichu chagofen. So where is the chaf? What happened to the chaf? Where did the chaf disappear? That's the style of writing. V'chamo lev sameach yetiv geha. It should be lev sameach ki yetiv geha. Okay, I think there's a ki. It should be like yetiv geha. Okay, whatever that means. Ki chatas kesem miri. It should say ki chatas a sin is ki kesem miri. Doing an Avera is like attaching yourself to a demon. So again, there's a comparison. It should be a chaf in these psukim, but it's a style of writing. And therefore, do not ask a question why there is no chaf, because that's the style of writing. Maybe let's ask a question. We're comparing Torah mitzvahs to Dagon. But Dagon has a chesaron. And what is the chesaron? That eventually it decays, it rots. Dagon does not last forever. The grain. So they have a maybe you say you pass a tuvam kumay dagon a pesach v'yovesh ad actually yizru'u or soy pamach until you go and you plant it a second time. Loy el of the yevichu chagofen. So this is what the pasuk says, that the dagon will be like a vine, which means kumay gefen ki achas shalaktu peyrosav einam nifsak v'yovesh. The vine never dries up. The vine always remains. Every year the vine produces new grapes. Dagon, there's nothing left. After the dagon is harvested, there's nothing left in the ground. You have to start all over again and plant new seeds. So if we're comparing Torah to dagon, that's not such a good bracha. Because it's true that dagon gives a person sustenance, it gives them life, but it comes a point in time when the dagon is consumed, and there's nothing left to show. There's nothing left in existence. If you want more dagon, you're going to have to start all over again. So therefore, the pasuk says, no, we're going to compare the dagon to a vine, to gefen. A gefen, when the peros are removed from the vine is still there, and the vine will produce new peros. So we're giving you, but a vine, peros, you can't live on wine. A person only drinks wine every day, he'll die. Because yayin does not have the ability, the nutrients, to give a person sustenance. So yayin is not a good mashal. Oh, so we're going to compare you to dagon. So to tzara shoveh. Lo yirizeh kirizeh, v'lo yirizeh kirizeh. Hatzara shoveh shebohen. The combination of having, being both like dagon and like yayin is going to give a person the ultimate sustenance. Therefore, v'yovesh al sheyizru oysopam macheres lo ke'el yivchu ke'gefen k'moya gefen ki'achas shalaktu ha'peroysav el nifsak v'yovesh elo yifrach shana acheres. And then the pasuk concludes, Zichroi kein levon reichoi kmo askoros l'Hashem. Your remembrance will be like the best wine. Reichoi, here he learns that the Zichroi is the fragrance of wine, not the taste of wine. The reichoi kmo askoros l'Hashem. Omar reich yain gefen shiyim shlu yisholo. And this means, yeah, kireich means they'll be compared to the vine, yeah, kireach yayin levana. You have to get a chaf here as well. Kireach, there is a chaf there. Sheyesh le'reach toiv ve'isim sefka. It has a good fragrance. So therefore, okay, it's just a metaphor. Now he's coming to explain over a new idea. Very, very interesting. Ve'isim sefer osof haroyfe. Ever hear of this book? Anyone go to?
Isaac's Fables, is it?
Yeah, it could be. What's the
Isaac's Fables?
Yeah,
so what when
Moral at the end of the story.
Allegorical story.
So when was it written?
It was a Greek.
So the Greeks saw way back before the Radak. The Ra'isi b'sefer Osof Harofe. In this book of Osof Harofe, ki yayin yain levanon, there are six wines he enumerates. There's something called yain levanon. There is the yain chermoin. The Yein HaKarmel, that's three. The Yein Horei Yisri Yushalayim, that's four. The Yein Horei Shomron, that's five. The Yein Horei Kaftar Mitzrayim. He enumerates six different types of wines. Eile HaYeinois Heim El Yoinim Al Kol Mine HaYayin. These are the best wines. There are more wines. These are not the only six wines. There are more wines. But these wines are the best. They have the best fragrance. Ulatam, and the best taste. Af lamarpe, and not only that, they also provide healing. It's good for the heart. A glass of red wine is right, as the doctors say. It's not going to help though when you're 90 years old. If you drink wine your whole life, then maybe in moderation, maybe it's good for the heart, whatever that means. Af lamarpe, it's good for healing. Umishal harech, yes, that's what we're referring to over here, referring to the riech levonon. It's one of the notice that it is the first on the list. in this book called Asaf HaRofei, where he lists the most beneficial wines in this world, which is good also for healing. That's why Asaf HaRofei enumerates these six wines, because he was a doctor, and these wines are good for the body. They're healing. They can provide refuah. It's listed as number one in the list of six. So that's why the pasuk over here says it's going to be a very, that Klal Yisrael's remembrance will be like the best one. And what is the symbolism of the yayin? So he says here exactly what the Mitzudos David said. It means reputation. Not like Rashi that says, like the good old days, the remembrance of the good old days when we were back, when we blew the shofar, the chatzotzros, when they poured the nesachim. He learns reputation. Mishal harech, yeah, Hashem HaToiv. Toiv Shem, Mishemen Toiv. Okay, a good reputation. Hashem HaToiv Sheyeli Yisrael B'chol Ha'amim Le'osid in the future generations. And besides that, we discussed in the beginning of the show, the individual, because Rashi learned the Pasuk, not Rashi, the Mitzudos, learned the Pasuk Zichroi was a reference to the individual. Every individual needs a good reputation. The Radak learns the Zichroi to the collective, Klal Yisrael. The collective noun, the Lashon Yochid, is the collective noun of Klal Yisrael. We're referring to Klal Yisrael will have a good reputation. And we discussed this yesterday. People will not say about a Jew, they come from an apartheid state. They're not going to say all these nasty, nasty things and promote BDS and all these other nasty anti-Semitic slurs against Jews. A Jew will have a pristine reputation. B'chol ha'amim la'asad, fine. This is the parish of the Radak. Then he quotes the Targum, which we already learned. We already learned the Targum in Rashi. We'll read it again. The Yoyna Samtir game, Haposak, Cain, as follows. Yiskan Shun Mibene Gol Vos Hoin. They will be collected from amongst the exiles. Okay, they're going to be a Shuvu. According to the whole Targum, means they will come together. Mashiach is on its way. And the Jewish people will all return among all of the exiles to Eretz Yisrael. Yitbun bitlal mishichahoin. They're going to do teshuvah. Okay, they're going to sit. Tav means to sit. They're going to return and they're going to sit in the shade of who? Mishichahoin of the Melech HaMashiach. When it says in the Pasuk, Bitziloi, it does not mean in the shade of Hashem. We, until now, according to all the commentators, learned that those who sit in the shade of who? Of Hashem. So either it means in the past, as the Rashi learned, as the Mitzudos learned. Just like in the past, I don't know, like Rashi learned it refers to the past, that just like in the past, you were in the shade of Hashem, I ask you, I beg you, do teshuvah, and once again, should you sit in the shade of Hashem? But that's not what, or in the Mitzudos learns, it means the people who are currently living a good life, a life of Torah mitzvos, where you are currently considered to be in the shade of Hashem. The Targum does not learn the Pasuk in this fashion. He learns, you will sit in the future. It's not the past, not the present, but it's in the future. You will sit in the shade of who? The Melech HaMashiach. Before we go further, isn't that interesting to take note that we have over here a three-way machlokes is the time frame of this pasuk. According to Rashi, Yoshvei Vitziloi is the past. Just like in the good old days, you were religious, you were believers. I beg you, Yeshuvu, do teshuvah. I want you to be a believer once again. Past. According to the Mitzudos David, we are discussing the present. The people who are currently dwelling in the shadow of Hashem, they devote themselves to Hashem, to His service, and they, with Mesiras Nefesh, I give you a blessing. The blessing is you should have nachas, you should have tranquility, you should have peace, serenity, yeshuvu, present. And according to the Targum, it's the future. In the future, may it be that Mashiach should come, Yeshuvu, all of the people, the Jewish people that are scattered throughout the world shall come to Eretz Yisrael, and they will sit in the shadow of the Melech HaMashiach. How often do you have something like this, where you have a machlekes among the Mefarshim on the page, is it the past, the present, or in the future? We should bring Nachum Siegel here to go and give a shir. Right? Nachum Siegel is closing his trust, what does he say? He's still on the radio, not on the radio anymore, right? It's not so easy to hear him anymore. He's online now, it's hard to hear him online. Then it says May the dead come to life. And it's very fascinating now, the Targum, why it says the word Dagon, because that was the Gemara's example, the Gemara's discussion of question, when the dead come back up from the grave, will they come up dressed in clothing or come up naked? When they'll be Techiyas HaMesim, what is a person, how are they going to look? Are they going to be naked? So this I think that Rabbi Koyrus asked this one of the Tanaim Amorayim, and what did he say? He said they're going to come up dressed in beautiful clothing. Kal v'choymer. How do you, when you have a seed, when you plant it, when you have a stalk of grain, how does a stalk of grain come into existence? You take a seed, and you put the seed into the ground. When you put a seed into the ground, is the seed wearing a designer suit from fancy designer, whoever your designer is? Does the seed is put into the ground naked? And yet when the seed comes up, when it blossoms, well, it's blossoming many layers of clothing. There's a lot of fluff. There's all the psoilus. There's a lot of different layers. I'm not familiar with all the different terms of the stalk of grain, but the stalk of grain is, there are many layers of protection for the kernel, which is the flour, which will produce the bread. Al achas kama v'kama, a human being, when he's planted in the ground, he's planted with clothing. Big day shmoina, tachrichim. There are eight garments. In tachrichim, there are eight garments that the chevra kadisha puts, eight garments, like a kohen gadol. Every person that's put in the karka, that's planted in the ground, is planted with, dressed in eight garments. Eight separate garments, like the Kohen Gadol who wore Big Day Shemayna. So a person who's planted in the ground, Achameh V'eshem, with eight garments, Al Achas Kama V'kama, when it'll come up to life, Tchiyas HaMesim, he'll be wearing who knows what. Big Day Malchus. If a seed is put in the ground naked, comes up in a beautiful, in many layers of protection, how much more so a human being who is buried in the ground with eight layers of clothing, eight garments, will come up in multiple layers of clothing to cover his nakedness. So it's interesting. That's what it's over here. I think that Chazal can be rooted in what it says here in these two words, Yechayu Dagon. According to the Targum, the word Yechayu means Tchiyas HaMesim. Man will merit Tchiyas HaMesim Kidogon. We learned the Radak, you have to eat a silent chaf. Man will merit Tchiyas HaMesim just like grain. A stalk of grain. It's Mamash to Gemara. Just like a stalk of grain. It fits very well into what the Targum, how the Targum translates the word Dagon. Then the Targum goes further to say, Messiah v'yiske tuva, and then he will be blessed. With v'yiske means an abundance. There'll be an abundance of goodness, the ara in the land, and that's hidden to in the yifrichu. They will blossom. Yehe duchran, that's all it says. The yiske tuva ba'ara. Gefen represents goodness, represents blessing. Gefen poriyah. B'yarka say they say, when you talk about having good children, good children, the children are compared to the gefen, you know, ishtecha, the wife is called the gefen. In this context, he takes the word gefen to mean you'll blossom like a gefen. And then it goes on to say, yehei duchran, you'll be mem. This is the part that we already learned, in the Rashi. Yehei duchran tov vashoin, alel, your duchran will be, Duchran means your remembrance. Right? Your remembrance will be good. Olel will be Olel means, I think it means very good. Tov ma'od. Tov vashoin olel. Lashon of ol, to go up. Higher and higher. Your blessing will increase will continuously increase, v'lo pasik, and will never come to an end. Just like the yain levonon, just like what was in back in the gold days in the Beis Hamikdash, kiduchran yevavus, like the remembrance of the sound chatzitz rossa of the trumpet al chamar atik that was sounded when they poured the old wine, the misnasach that was poured beis makdash and the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so the beautiful targum to learn shan this pasuk, and we learn all this about this thing he calls the osaf haroife. Osaf haroife, check him out. Check Google him. Who is Osaf Haroife? Osaf Haroife, we have a lot of people over here. You know, he always like look at the Ibn Ezra on the top. Yeah, this Rameyer told me about him. Rameyer told me about him. Yefes. He wasn't Jewish. Look at Ibn Ezra. The word Yeshuvu. We spend the whole day today with the two different translations of the word Yeshuvu. So the Ibn Ezra obviously had a dilemma. He didn't know what it means. Is it Rashi right? Or is it Mitsudos? Mitsudos was much after him, but obviously they're different perushim. What does it mean in this context? Yeshuvu Yeshvei Vitziloi. What is the translation of the word Yeshuvu? Does it mean tranquility? And it's giving you a bracha. Those are Yeshuvu Bisashavit Lot of tranquility. Yeshuvu means it's an request. I'm asking you, please do teshuva. So Ibn Ezra says, I don't know. We have to be machriya. Let's go to Yefes. Who is Yefes? Yefes was not Jewish. Yefes was a Bible scholar among the Goyim. Okay, you have to do research on who this person, Yefes, was a very famous person in ancient times, the time of the Ibn Ezra. Omar Yefes, Yoshvei Bitzel Halavanon, it means Yoshvei. Omar Yefes, Yoshvei Bitzel Halavanon, those that sit. Yoshuvu Yoshvei, it's not even translated, I don't really understand what he's saying. Yoshuvu Omar Yefes, Yoshvei, those who sit. Bitzel Halavanon, in the shade of Hashem. I don't know what he's saying. He's not really telling us what he... I thought I understood this. Ulefi da'ati yoshe b'tzel Yisrael. Oh, I'm sorry. Yefes is not coming to explain the word Yeshuvah. I'm sorry. He's coming to... What's the subject? Who's tzel? That's the question. It's another dilemma. Another dilemma in this pasuk is, what is the subject of the tzel? What we've learned until now, we've learned two perushim. We learned the parish of Rashi and the Mitzudos, which are in agreement and referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem's shade. Hashem is protecting us. And then we learned the Targum. The Tzel is the shade of the Melech HaMashiach. Yefes told the Ibn Ezra that it means, or maybe it says in his book, it means the Tzel of the Levanon. What is the Levanon? It means Eretz Yisrael, or the Beis HaMikdash. In time of Mashiach, we will live in the shade of the Beis HaMikdash, or in the shade of the Zechus of living in Eretz Yisrael. Or Lefidati, Ibn Ezra says, I disagree, Yoshrei B'tzel Yisrael, in the shade of being part of the greater Israel. Okay, he was a Zionist. The Tzel of Yisrael, you'll sit in the shade of the Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people, the Heim Avodim. Who are we referring to? Avodim, it means the servant, Sheyiyu Ikorehem, V'chor Mehem, farmers and their people who tend to the vine. So what does he mean? It means that the Jewish people will sit in the shade of their of servant, people who will service them. The greater
immigrants.
It means that Tzel means the government. Israel, it says Yisrael, it means the government of Yisrael will provide services. They'll be a service provider for the Jewish people. They'll make sure that there are people that take care of the land, and everyone else will benefit from the services. Who are going to be the people that are going to provide the services? It doesn't say. They're going to be foreigners, they're going to import, or they're going to be the people amongst ourselves? Doesn't say, but it's a different parish. So it turns out there are really four perushim as to who is the subject of the tzel, either the Ribbono Shel Olam, Melech HaMashiach, or the Beis HaMikdash, or the Kedushas HaAretz, or the greater Israel, Yisrael, the structure of the land which has workers providing our needs, which we assume now refers to foreigners who have been hired, imported by the government in order to take care of our needs so Klal Yisrael can serve Hashem, be devoted to the service of Hashem, And that's what it says in the Chazal. Tanah Chazal, it says that you will devote yourself to serve Hashem, and the world, even kings and daughters of kings, queens will come and be your maids, will be your servants, will provide your needs so that you can devote yourself to serve Hashem in the whatever is fitting for you, and whatever talent you have, and you can devote to serve Hashem. So I just want to point over here is that, look, we have over here, we bring over here into this, on this one page, we bring over here two people who I think are not Jews.
I saw Parofe, I just checked up who he was, I called by bookstore. He's 6th century, lived in Syria, and is considered one of the early medical books.
And he was a Jewish?
From what he writes, you know, about Jerusalem and the territory of Eretz Israel, it sounds.
He was Jewish. Was he religious? Assume so. 6th century, everyone was religious, right? If you were Jewish, you were religious. So, okay, we have the Osof HaRoife, 6th century. Radak was when? Was the 13th century? I don't, something like that. I don't know. Something like that. 13th, 14th, 12th, something, I don't know. Something along there. There was a Rishon, the Radak. So the Radak is quoting Osof HaRoife, and Ibn Ezra is quoting Yefes. Of Meir did research on Yefes, right? You told me who Yefes was? He told me even how many times the Ibn Ezra quotes him. He quotes him, it's certainly counted, and Yefes, it's a very disturbing thing, because today's day and age, they would take the Ibn Ezra out of the Beis Medrash, because he quotes Goyim. Take the truth from where it comes. They would mamish arois from the Beis Medrash. If this approach today is not accepted, but since in the ancient days it was accepted, such an approach, and he got into the book, so no one's going to dare. No one comes anywhere near the toenails of the sanctity of the Ibn Ezra. But it's interesting. No, you told me about Yefes. I remember clearly. You told me about Yefes. You told me about Yefes. You told me how many times you quote. You read me how many times the Ibn Ezra quotes him in Sefer. I think it was Sefer Yecheskel. You told me about Sefer Yecheskel. It was a while ago. You told me who is Yefes. He wasn't Jewish. He was controversial. They quote him, but the Ibn Ezra quotes Yefes, and then we have Osla Reifel. V'yesh Mefarshim, then we're over here to wind down, almost finish over here for today. Okay, what time is it over here? Very over time. Okay, very over time, let's finish it up. V'yesh Mefarshim, Yeshuv Yanuchu, it means Yanuchu, the word Yeshuv means tranquility. He's quoting the parish of the Mitzudos David, B'shuv of Anachas, V'yesh Mefarshim, Yichayu Dagan, Shinu Yitiv. Now this is a very beautiful thing, this is not a typical type of Radak. Radakov here is saying that the La'asa Lava is going to be a Shinui Teva, that nature is going to be different, and that is an incredible concept. Grain in the future is not going to be grain the way we have it today. Today, you plant a stalk in the ground, and what do? You harvest the grain. How do you harvest the grain? You pull out the stalk from its roots. Pull it out from the roots. And you take it, and you step on it. You separate the kernel from the chaff. And then you crush it to bring out the fine flour. And then you have to sift the bran, the outer surface. The chaff is the very outer. There are many different layers. But the first step is you pluck it out of the ground, and there's nothing left. And if you want next year another stalk, you got to take a seed and start all over again. L'asid lava, it's not going to be like that. When you want to make a piece of bread, you're not going to have to go through the effort, the toil of plowing the land and fertilizing the land. You don't have to do that. You do it once. The stalk is firmly embedded in the earth, and every single year, or every single season, the stalk produces a kernel of wheat, a kernel, and you go into the field, you pluck out the kernels, and the stalk remains in the ground from year to year, and that saves you labor, that saves you time. Do you imagine how much labor, how much time you have to go and do all this hard work? L'asa lava, grain is going to be like a vine. Just like the vine remains there from year to year, and the kernels, the grapes grow from year to year, so too in the future. Shinu teva ba'dagon la'aslo ba'agoyal asher yichayu oisakim ha'gefen v'lo yitzdarchu lizroya ha'dagon elapam achas kimoy ha'gefen How often do you ever have such a thing over here? A chazal, I think, learned such an unbelievable concept over here. Incredible radak. What's going to be in the future? Believe me, in our lifetimes, I'm willing to bet one day you'll go on Google and you'll read the news. Scientists have engineered a new type of grain where there's no need to harvest, no need to harvest the crop. Every single year, the doggone produces new kernels. You're going to see this. You're going to see something in the news. There's going to be some engineering of farmers, and it'll save water, it'll save resources, it'll be a great chachma. And look, Chazal, the Tanakh, already Hosea, 3,000 years ago, predicted that there's going to be such a mitzias. Okay, we have to do more mefarshim tomorrow. We have to do the chidah tomorrow to be continued.